Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, two teens in custody after stolen vehicle chase leads to Mesa police shooting. Two teenagers were arrested after a stolen vehicle pursuit ended with a Mesa police officer shooting the driver in the hand. Police said that on June 12 at about 4:45 p.m., the real-time crime center alerted officers to a stolen vehicle near Power Road and Main Street. Officers found the vehicle traveling south on Power Road and followed it east on Broadway Road to 72nd Place, police said. Police said the vehicle continued into a cul-de-sac after an officer unsuccessfully deployed a grappler device in an attempt to stop the vehicle. The driver made a U-turn by driving off of the road and through the front yards of several houses, putting the stolen vehicle head-on with responding officers' vehicles, police said. The stolen vehicle rammed the side of an officer's vehicle, and the officer then took out his firearm and shot the driver in the hand. Both the driver and passenger were 17 years old. The driver's injuries were significant but not life-threatening, and the passenger was not injured, police said. No officers were injured. Police said the incident was being investigated by the Tempe Police Department under the East Valley Critical Incident Response Team. That story was two teens in custody after stolen vehicle chase leads to Mesa police shooting. The next story, liquor license sought for cat wagon tap and bottle in Apache Junction. A new Series 7 beer and wine bar liquor license is being sought for cat wagon tap and bottle in Apache Junction. The Apache Junction City Council at a 7 p.m. June 17 meeting in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard, is slated to make a recommendation to the Arizona Department of Liquor License and Control for the business at 2430 West Apache Trail No. 4 in Apache Junction. The agent is Christopher Hayden Ray. Correspondence related to inspections of the premises for safety and code-compliant matters have been received from the Apache Junction Police Department, Building and Safety Division, Planning and Zoning Department, and the Superstition Fire and Medical District, City Clerk Evie McKinney said in a memo to the council. All four entities find compliance with the inspection requirements and recommend approval, she said. That story was liquor license sought for cat wagon, tap and bottle in Apache Junction. The next story, babysitter arrested in connection to toddler's death in Mesa in 2024. Mesa police arrested Christopher Watkins, 33, on suspicion of first-degree murder and child abuse after a 3-year-old boy was found dead while under his care in 2024. Police responded to reports of a toddler who was not breathing near Roosevelt and Broadway Roads in Mesa on November 27, according to Maricopa County Superior Court documents. The child was given emergency medical care and taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead, court documents said. Watkins told investigators that he was hired by the child's mother to babysit for 5 days while she was working out of town. He added that there were two previous occasions where he had watched the child for multiple days at a time, court documents stated. The child had climbed onto a 25-inch stool while the babysitter was preparing food, Watkins told investigators, according to court documents. Watkins told the child to get off the stool, yet continued to prepare food with his back turned toward the child, he said to police. The babysitter then heard a loud sound and discovered the child on the tile having either fallen or having been pushed by another child, court documents said. Watkins explained to investigators that the child looked like he wanted to cry but did not make any noise. The babysitter asked the child if he was okay, and the child nodded in the affirmative but did not speak, court documents said. The documents stated Watkins admitted to police knowing that someone with a head injury should not go to sleep, but he left the toddler in a bedroom for approximately 30 to 40 minutes. He added that he did not check on the child because he did not want roaches to get in the turkey he was preparing. Watkins' fiancée later arrived home to find the child unresponsive and called 911. A search of Watkins' phone showed screenshots from web searches, including what to do for a toddler/baby that has a concussion. Court documents said these searches occurred nearly 3.5 hours before the 911 call, indicating that is when the fall occurred. Comments on the webpage, of which Watkins had taken a screenshot, said that a concussion was likely to occur in a child if they fell on a hard surface at a fast speed and for more than 3 feet, all factors that were present in the incident. When the child's height was added to the height of the stool, the total height of the fall was over 5 feet. Watkins denied completing the searches on his phone and claimed his fiancée had conducted them. He again told police he had not checked on the child after placing him in the bedroom by himself, court documents said. Watkins told investigators he did not call 911 because he did not know the child was injured that badly. He believed this because the 3-year-old had nodded his head in the affirmative when asked if he was okay, court documents said. Watkins' fiancée denied making the searches, and evidence supported her not being present when they were conducted, according to the court documents. The Maricopa County Medical Examiner determined the child's cause of death was blunt force trauma of the head, consistent with injuries received during a fall from a stool. Watkins failed to care for the child by providing aid or summoning those who could, court documents stated. They added his actions, as well as inactions, knowingly placed the child in a situation where his life was in danger and ultimately resulted in death. Watkins' next court appearance was scheduled for June 16. That story was babysitter arrested in connection to toddler's death in Mesa in 2024. The next story, Boyce Thompson Arboretum lowers admission prices through August. Summer weather has arrived, and Boyce Thompson Arboretum is ready to welcome guests with seasonal pricing, adjusted hours, and a changing showcase of desert blooms and wildlife. The Arboretum is at 37615 East Arboretum Way near the town of Superior. From June through August, admission for adults is $16, a savings of $8.95 off the regular price of $24.95. To ensure the comfort and safety of visitors and staff, the Arboretum will be open from 6 a.m. to noon throughout the summer and will be closed on Tuesdays during these months, according to a release. We have plenty of shaded trails, and there are rangers and other staff on site walking around to answer questions, Kim Gray, executive director of the Arboretum, said in the release. Whether you're hiking, birding, or just enjoying the garden's quiet beauty, early morning is a magical time to experience the desert. The Arboretum is a destination for bird watching, with frequent sightings of yellow warblers, vermilion flycatchers, black-throated sparrows, western tanagers, and many others. Visitors may also encounter butterflies and coatimundis, especially in the cool of the morning. What's blooming? A seasonal snapshot. Each month brings new beauty to the trails and gardens. June, Queen of the Night, Pinias cereus greggii, rare fragrant night-blooming cactus, strawberry hedgehog cactus, Echinocereus ineacanthus subspecies brevis spinus, golden-flowered agave, agave chrysantha, seen on the main trail above the lake and along the high trail. July, crepe myrtle, Lagerstromia indica, children's garden, demonstration garden. Hedgehog cactus, Echinopsis sup, cactus garden, Wallace hummingbird, butterfly garden. Texas sage, Leucophyllum sup, blooms after rain, children's garden, Chihuahuan trail. Desert willow, Chilopsis linearis, hummingbird, butterfly garden, Wallace rose garden. Sacred datura, Datura reitii, widespread in Wallace garden and Aussie desert. Fishhook barrel cactus, Ferrocactus wislizeni, cactus garden, Wallace, Sonoran upland. Carden Grand cactus, Echinopsis tershekii, cactus garden, South American loops. August, crepe myrtle, Lagerstromia indica, children's garden, demonstration garden. Hedgehog cactus, Echinopsis sup, hummingbird butterfly garden, cactus garden, Wallace. Texas Sage, Leucophyllum sup. Blooms After Rain, Children's Garden, Chihuahuan Trail, Desert Willow, Calopsis linearis, Hummingbird Butterfly Garden, Wallace Rose Garden, Sea Squill, Dremia maritima, Canyon Entrance Demonstration Garden, Sacred Datura, Datura Wrightii, Widespread, Wallace and Aussie Gardens, Cardin Grand Cactus, Echinopsis tertiaceae, Cactus Garden, South American Loops. With shaded trails, expert staff on hand, and remarkable plant and wildlife displays, Boyce Thompson Arboretum provides a cool and captivating escape from the heat. For information, including details on upcoming events, memberships, and conservation initiatives, go to www.btarboretum.org, call 520-689-2723, or connect with the Arboretum on Facebook, Instagram, or X, formerly Twitter. Boyce Thompson Arboretum is Arizona's oldest and largest botanical garden. Founded in 1924 by mining magnate Colonel William Boyce Thompson, the Arboretum spans 372 acres, featuring nearly 5 miles of trails, 135 acres of cultivated gardens, and more than 20,000 desert plants from regions around the world, including North and South America, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and Australia. For information, go to www.btarboretum.org. And that story was Boyce Thompson Arboretum lowers admission prices through August. The next story, a new pickleball palace is opening its first Arizona location. Here's where. Hold on to your paddles. Another new pickleball venue is coming to Metro Phoenix soon. Dink and Dine Pickle Park is a 72,000 square foot indoor and outdoor entertainment venue planning to open this summer at the Mesa Riverview Shopping Center. Dink and Dine combines high-performance pickleball courts with dining, live entertainment, and event-ready spaces. We set out to build something that didn't exist in the market, a place where world-class play meets hospitality, community, and entertainment, Dink and Dine co-founder Ken Gerdeau said in a press release. Every detail at Dink and Dine is designed to deliver an unforgettable experience. Here's what we know about Dink and Dine Pickle Park. Dink and Dine Pickle Park in Mesa will have 13 pickleball courts, 10 indoor and 3 outdoor, that are engineered for competitive play with professional-grade cushioned surfaces, advanced LED lighting, and on-court video technology. Dink and Dine's restaurant will serve small plates, full meals, seasonal dishes, and a full beverage menu. There will be fire pits, shaded patios, outdoor games, a pet-friendly park, live music, and a clubhouse with private courts and gathering spaces for celebrations of all kinds. Dink and Dine has a preview date set for July 30 and expects to be fully open by October 11, 2025. That story was, a new pickleball palace is opening its first Arizona location, here's where. The next story, 336-unit rental community's CUP appeal goes before Apache Junction Council Tuesday. A 336-unit, three-story residential retail complex proposed for 18 acres west of the northwest corner of Idaho Road and Apache Trail in Apache Junction has drawn criticism from neighbors around the proposal and a rejection from the Planning Commission. An appeal of the Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission's denial of a conditional use permit for the development was submitted April 24 by Paul Gilbert of Gilbert Bliley PLLC on behalf of Wolf Enterprises 3 LLC. The appeal will be considered at the June 17 City Council meeting, which begins at 7 p.m. in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing April 8 and overwhelmingly voted to not approve a conditional use permit for the development requested by Wolf Enterprises 3 LLC, represented by Gilbert Bliley PLLC. That story was 336-unit rental community's CUP appeal goes before Apache Junction Council Tuesday. You're listening to East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. The next story, what to know about Google Fiber in Arizona. Fiber optic cable internet service is on the rise, with Google Fiber rapidly expanding into metro Phoenix cities. The COVID-19 pandemic showed cities and internet service providers the need to bring broadband connectivity as more people turned to working from home. That launched a race among cities to seek fiber optic networks. Cities need to approve a measure that allows networks to use the city right-of-way to install its infrastructure on city streets. Google Fiber first announced it would launch in Arizona in 2022 and has recently begun construction in Queen Creek, the third Arizona city to get it. Google Fiber is a subsidiary of Alphabet Inc., the umbrella company for other Google companies. The company digs a shallow trench nearly 2 inches wide along the street to lay down the fiber optic cable. Fiber internet is viewed as a better alternative to cable internet because it uses fiber optic cables to send data through thin strands of fiberglass at nearly the speed of light, compared to using slower copper wires to deliver internet. Service plans start at $70 per month per 1 gigabit per second of download and upload speed. The second tier is 3 gigabits per second of download and upload speed for $100 a month. A $150 a month plan offers up to 8 gigabits per second of download and upload speed. Google Fiber's 1 gigabit plan can download a movie in 56.9 seconds or a 10 gigabyte game in 1.5 minutes. Google Fiber offers the highest gigabit service in the country next to Optium, USA Today reported. According to speedtest.net, the average U.S. download speed as of April 2025 was 291.18 megabits per second. Google Fiber's download speed for the 1 gigabit service is 1,000 megabits per second. Interested customers can go to the Google Fiber website and check the availability in their area. If the service is not online in your community, you can submit your email address for future updates. Google Fiber first went online in West Mesa in March 2023, nearly a year after the City Council approved an ordinance to allow the company to dig micro trenches in its right-of-ways. The company also opened its first office in the state in Mesa near Alma School Road and Rio Salado Parkway. More recently, the internet service went online for Chandler residents in December. Queen Creek is expected to see Google Fiber go online in early 2026. And that story was what to know about Google Fiber in Arizona. The next story, bids sought by Apache Junction Sewer District for construction of operations maintenance building. Apache Junction Sewer District is looking to construct an operations and fleet maintenance facility with parking canopy along with associated parking and site improvements, according to a public notice. Work includes site improvements for automobile parking with deferred canopies and site lighting, a two-story pre-engineered metal maintenance building with office control room storage maintenance and maintenance bays, providing flexible storage area, no high racking, and vehicle lift to the second story in a fleet vehicle canopy with adjacent washdown area, it states. Bids will be received until 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 30, at the district office, 5661 South Ironwood Drive, Building A, in Apache Junction, or mailed to the same address. Bids will be opened at the district office and publicly read aloud immediately after the hour of closing, it states in the public notice. Instructions to bidders, proposal forms, project drawings and specifications, the construction contract, and any other supporting documents may be obtained at the district's website, www.ajsewer.org, or the district's office, Building A, between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. The Sewer District is an independent, public, nonprofit entity developed solely for the benefit of its customers and the Apache Junction community to operate and maintain a regional system for the collection, transport, and treatment of sewage from the properties existing within its boundaries. That story was bids sought by Apache Junction Sewer District for construction of operations maintenance building. The next story, good news for buyers. See how your city compares with latest Metro Phoenix home prices. Home prices are flat or down slightly in most Metro Phoenix cities compared to last year. Another sign of a big increase in listings shifting the market toward buyers. Listings of houses for sale shot up almost 53% during the past year, according to the Arizona Regional Multiple Listing Service. Christy Walker, board president of Phoenix Realtors, said the increase in listings gives home buyers a diverse range of prices. In April, 7,164 Phoenix-area houses sold, up by almost 400 since March, but the valley's median home price dipped by $10,000 to $445,000 in April from March, likely due to the higher supply of houses for sale. Here's how median prices fared for single-family homes between April 2025 and April 2024. Phoenix's median fell 5.2% to $473,450 in April 2025 compared to April 2024. In Mesa, the median home price was up about 1% to $490,000. Chandler's typical home price rose 2.5% to $584,000. Gilbert's home price was down 1% to $595,000. In Glendale, the median went up 2.2% to $460,000. Scottsdale saw its typical home price dip about 2% to $1,178,000. Peoria's typical home price fell 6% to $504,995. In Tempe, the median sales price was $540,500, also down 6%. Surprise's median price inched up 1% to $437,240. And in Buckeye, the most affordable Valley city on the list, the median ticked down 1.3% to $404,000. We are in a buyer's market, said Tina Tambor, senior housing analyst with the Cromford Report. Don't look for prices to plummet, but they could slip 3% to 5%. That story was good news for buyers. See how your city compares with latest Metro Phoenix home prices. The next story, 4 thefts, 3 burglaries reported in Apache Junction to AJPD. The Apache Junction Police Department took the following reports of thefts and burglaries May 20 to 24. Residential burglary reported at 10:53 a.m. May 20 in the 9400 block of South Saguaro Drive. Theft reported at 2:48 p.m. May 21 in the 1900 block of South Meridian Drive. Residential burglary reported at 3:52 p.m. May 22 in the 1500 block of East 29th Avenue. Theft reported at 4 p.m. May 22 in the 1000 block of East Estevan Avenue. Theft reported at 9:56 p.m. May 22 in the 1300 block of East Superstition Boulevard. Theft reported at 4:49 p.m. May 23 in the 2600 block of West Mockingbird Street. Residential burglary reported at 1:30 p.m. May 24 in the 2200 block of West Baseline Avenue. Incidents are taken from the communitycrimemap.com. That story was 4 thefts, 3 burglaries reported in Apache Junction to AJPD. The next story, how the community of Apache Junction is honoring fallen police officer Gabrielle Facio. The Apache Junction community planned to honor fallen police officer Gabrielle Facio with several fundraisers days after the beloved officer was killed in the line of duty. Facio was shot in the face while responding to a call on June 2. He died from those injuries June 8. Facio was a husband, grandfather, and 3-year veteran of the Apache Junction Police Department. Police Chief Michael Pooley remembered Facio as someone who showed his passion for people through his service to others. The community will show support for Facio's family at a barbecue fundraiser and an early morning run, while several local businesses are holding their own fundraisers to benefit his family. Basio's funeral was scheduled for June 16, according to police. The Apache Junction Police Department will host a June 11 barbecue fundraiser to support the Fascio family. In addition to the cookout, there will be a raffle with prizes. The event will run from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Apache Junction High School near Ironwood Drive and Southern Avenue. It was organized in partnership with two Fraternal Order of Police groups, Mesa FOP Lodge 9 Charity Foundation and Scottsdale FOP Lodge 35. Fascio was an FOP member, according to a GoFundMe page set up to help his family. Cobblestone Auto Spa will hold a car wash fundraiser to benefit the Fascio family on June 11. The fundraiser will happen at Cobblestone's Mesa location at the intersection of Signal Butte Road and Baseline Road. It will run from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. At this Mesa location, only 100% of all single car wash sales will directly benefit Officer Fascio's family. Customers may also donate any dollar amount in addition to their purchase or simply make an open donation, the company said on Facebook. Cobblestone will also accept donations to benefit the Fascio family and all of its other locations. Desert Vista Elementary School will be the starting point for a 2-mile trail walk and run to honor and remember Fascio in Apache Junction. Families are welcome, according to an organizer. The event will begin with a prayer at 4:45 a.m., and the run will start at 5 a.m., the event Facebook page said. The event will conclude by 7 a.m. to avoid the heat. El Gordo Mexican Grill will donate all sales at its Apache Junction location to the Fascio family from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. on June 11, according to a Facebook event. Mad Taco in Apache Junction held a similar fundraiser on June 10, noting online that Fascio was a good friend and would visit the restaurant multiple times per week. There were several online fundraisers underway to support the family that Fascio left behind. The Mesa Fraternal Order of Police established an online donation link to support Fascio's family and the police department. The nonprofit Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Advisory Council was raising money on its website, and the GoFundMe for the Fascio family had raised more than $41,000 as of June 10. The GoFundMe was organized by Apache Junction FOP Lodge 83 and Mesa FOP Lodge 9 Charity Foundation. The groups will give all related donations and fundraising funds to Officer Fascio's family so they can take care of medical bills, funeral and burial proceedings, and the transport of Officer Fascio to his home state, according to the GoFundMe. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can also take SunSounds with you by getting our stream and on demand on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.